going to tell you and share with you the story of Skyscanner and share how we help shape the travel industry every single day, as we have done for the last couple of decades. Before I kick off, I'll give you a little bit of an introduction on myself. So I lead our partnerships team from our London office back in the UK. I've been with Skyscanner for the last sort of 5.5 years now, I think it is, originally from Scotland. And prior to working in technology within Skyscanner, I worked in commercial teams for airlines, a couple of which were Icelandair, based in Reykjavik. And prior to that, an airline probably most of you all never heard of, no longer with us, BMI, British Midland. I'm getting some head nods, which is reassuring. So it's safe to say that I'm a bit of an aviation geek. I'm extremely passionate about the industry that we're all in. And it is a pleasure to be able to share the story of Skyscanner with you this morning. So before we get started, I'm going to ask you a quick question, make sure everyone's awake. Can I have a show of hands from those that either use Skyscanner or have at least used us once before? Brilliant. I always get so nervous. I ask this question a lot at conferences and I still get scared that no one raises their hand, but almost everyone in the room has raised their hand, which is great to see. Now, you help make up our massive audience of 120 million users that come every single month. 120 million. That number is staggering. It's very difficult to visualize. So I'm going to help you. I'm pressing the green button, but I'm not getting the next slide. There we go. That's 11 Dominican Republic. So the entire population of this gorgeous country, 11 times over. That's how many people are coming to our platform every single month. So over the next 20 minutes or so, if you'll indulge me, we're going to be taking a quick look at where Skyscanner started, where we are today, what it is that we actually do and how we go about doing it. And then I'll wrap things up today by just sharing some trends that we're seeing in the first half of 2023. And then hopefully that famous Caribbean sunshine might appear and we can enjoy some rum. So where did it start? Back in Edinburgh in 2003, and we didn't start with 120 million users back then. Now, like most great ideas that come out of Scotland, this one was no different. It started in the pub. Between three friends, all software engineers, who loved to go skiing. And what they used to do to track the cheapest flights, because back then Skyscanner didn't exist, they tracked it in an Excel spreadsheet and they just logged all the airlines, all the itineraries, all the fares. And then they started to share that amongst their wider group of friends. And over time, this grew in popularity. And they started to think, hey, maybe we're onto something here. I think we've maybe got a good idea. So Gareth, one of those three friends and our founder, our very first CEO, he decided to quit his job as a software engineer on the basis that the two other friends would share their salaries with him while he worked on the Skyscanner project full time. Of course, this was a massive gamble, but ultimately one that paid off because Skyscanner soon became not only one of Scotland's biggest business success stories, but also a brand and a tool that is now a must-have for travelers all over the world, which leads us to where we are today. We're very, very proud to be the world's largest meta search site. We're across 50 countries globally. We're in over 30 languages, and we partner with over 1,200 organizations, directly partner with over 1,200 companies, most of which are actually represented here this week in Santo Domingo at the Connect Conference. We work very closely, as you can see, with some of the brands here, airlines, hotels, car hire companies, destinations, to name just a few. And we're directly connected to the majority of them, which means we're able to offer the richest of travel content to travelers all over the world, meaning that they don't have to search anywhere else for their next trip. Now, at the Skyscanner family, we've got around 1,300 staff members. We've got each region covered pretty well. So Miami look after the Americas, the UK taking care of EMEA, and our Singapore friends taking care of APAC. And none of us are complacent about the massive responsibility that we've got to look after 120 million people that come to our platform every single month. A cool fun fact that I like to share is that if we were an airline, we would be the equivalent size of maybe the fifth or sixth largest airline on the planet, which is pretty staggering considering where we came from. Okay, you'll be pleased to know that is where I'm going to stop the boasting. Thank you for indulging me. Let's take a look at what we actually do. So our goal itself is pretty simple on the face of it. Our goal is to build the world's most trusted travel marketplace. Pretty easy, right? So how are we going about doing that? Now, we've got a hugely successful consumer business, and we also have a very successful B2B part of our business as well. So on the consumer side, we've got an unrivaled selection of flights, hotels, and car rental content. And then further up that travel funnel, we also help inspire travelers with content from our destination partners as well to help them pick their next destination. So put very simply, the click of a few buttons, a traveler can have the cheapest, the best, And the quickest way to get from A to B, and also their accommodation and ground transport is taken care of as well. Now, travelers are constantly telling us that they love us because we're easy to use. The results come fast. Everything's in one place under one roof. But most important of all, we're entirely free at the point of use as well. And that's core values that have been with us since we started and will remain with us through time too. Believe it or not, every key decision that we make at Skyscanner, and we think this is quite unique, every key decision we make really puts the traveler at the core of what we do, even ahead of commercial gain in most instances. Customers then, as a result, return to us time and time again. Now, as much as travelers are our most important asset, it doesn't take away from the fact that we realize how important and significant our partners are as well, like probably some of you in the room. Without your content, obviously our marketplace would be pretty dry. So there's a bit of a motto within the company, and it's not one of those typical cheesy corporate mottos that nobody really follows. Genuinely, if you were to ask any of the 1,300 people that work for us, what's the Skyscanner motto? Everybody will tell you without fail. It's traveler first, partner second, and Skyscanner third. So the theory behind that, that sort of simply translates as, if we're building the right products and the right tools for our travelers, making their life easier, and we're treating our partners fairly, then ultimately Skyscanner will benefit as a result. And that's a motto that's been with us for the last couple of decades. It's served us well, and hopefully it'll be with us for decades more to come. I also mentioned that there's a B2B side of our business as well, and this is what Patrick was alluding to in the introduction. It's grown significantly in the last few years. We're able to take advantage of that massive audience of 120 million people every single month and the digital footprint that they're leaving behind, and capture the data and then distribute it across the rest of the industry. And what the industry are able to do is look at forward-looking travel insights and trends based on where people are searching for. And I'll dig into that in a little bit more detail later. So to help illustrate what Skyscanner does and how we're doing it, I thought it would be a good idea to take a closer look at the different and the various different partner types that we work with. And we'll start by taking a look at how we work with airlines and how we partner with them. An airline can have their entire inventory within our shop window. And remember, that shop window is visible to over 50 countries throughout the world. We have itineraries that are going to appear in what we call the best order. And the best order is simply an algorithm based not only on the cheapest, but also things like the duration, journey, and how many connections are involved. Those of us with exposure to how airfares work and maybe a bit of distribution with airlines will understand that even though the airline provides the inventory, they're not always the cheapest provider. Often OTAs will come into play and maybe undercut, and they'll offer cheaper fares. And that means that the airline doesn't get ownership of the booking. So let's take a quick example here then. I've got a search on Skyscanner from Bogota to New York. And you can see here that the first organic result is showing for 457. Looks like a pretty good deal to me. So I'm going to go ahead and click that, and I'm presented with some options. So I've got some itinerary information at the top. Looks pretty good to me. It's direct, nice, Avianca, trust them, great airline. However, the cheapest is with trip.com, and Avianca comes second. Now, I know you're thinking it's only £1 difference. Trust me, people love a bargain, and that £1 really does make a difference. A pound is a pound. Now this is where our sort of innovative and market-leading advertising products come into play and really help airlines solve this issue of not being able to control their own bookings or have ownership of their own bookings. If I just go back one stage, you can see at the top, we have a sponsor placement. Now we call this an inline placement simply because it's in line with our organic results. It's branded with Avianca. We've presented more information there. It's still got that 458 price, so it is £1 more. But because it appears at the top, the user is more inclined to click that option because they trust the Avianca brand. And that's exactly what happens. The conversion rate on this is phenomenally high, which of course means airlines are extremely happy. They also get ownership of the booking. They have an opportunity to sell ancillaries and then also retarget that passenger later on for their next journey. And of course the traveler's happy because they've had a seamless booking process when they go directly to that airline's website rather than go through an option of OTAs. So happy customers all round. If we take a look at destinations and how we partner with those, it'll be probably a huge shock to you that over half or around about half of Skyscanner's travelers don't actually know where they want to go. I know that sounds bizarre, but they have absolutely no idea where they want to go. They know that they want to go somewhere, but they're coming to Skyscanner for inspiration, and they're using our most popular feature, which is the everywhere function. So it does exactly what it says on its name. You simply pop in your origin airport, click everywhere, and then we're going to present to you the cheapest destinations that you can fly to within the time range that you want to go. I love this feature. I would encourage everyone in the room, if you've not used it, give it a bash from your local airport and see where you might end up next. Now, I'm going to use Dominican Republic as a bit of an example here. It's purely hypothetical. We're not currently working with the Dominican Republic Tourism yet. But say, for example, we were, and they told us that, I'm making this up on the spot, their competing destinations are Mexico and Cuba. And they had a core, I don't know, they had a focus on the core market of, say, Germany. With 50% of our audience not knowing where they want to go, there's a massive opportunity for us to tap into that. So, for example, we can be really wide and say, right, 50%, that's roughly 60 million people. Let's just plaster Dominican Republic at them. Or we can be really specific and we can be more laser focused than that and say, okay, let's target people that are based in Germany that have maybe searched for Cuba, have maybe searched for Mexico or other competing destinations, and bring them into a booking flow that's Dominican Republic only and present them with beautiful imagery. You know, a destination like Dominican Republic isn't going to struggle because it's very photogenic. Destinations all over the world are taking massive advantage of this. And it's advertising, but it's advertising that travelers want. They're actively coming to us for it. I think it would be quite rude for me not to spend a bit of time and explain how we work with airports, given we are at an off conference filled with aviation development professionals. You'll know more than I that the core responsibility of an aviation development professional is to build relationships with airlines. And then, of course, ultimately, as a result of that, have more passengers land and take off on your runways. Now, the way that Skyscanner has been assisting this sector for the last few years is by providing that insight data, again, that Patrick mentioned at the start and that I spoke of with the 120 million travelers coming to us. They leave behind a digital footprint, which is extremely valuable. And of course, it's completely anonymized. But what it does is it tells us where people want to go based on where they're searching for. I know you're sick of me mentioning this 120 million audience, but when you've got an audience that large, you really do get true, insightful data into real trends that are going to be happening in the future. Now, any one user that's on Skyscanner has around about potential for 100 touch points. Of course, what you would expect, origin, destination, cabin class, number of travelers, but there's a whole host more. And when we capture all of that, every single one tells us a story. For example, if I show you this next slide with the unserved routes data, airports and airlines love it because what we're doing here is taking all of the searches taking place on our platform where a user has popped in an origin, a destination, and there isn't a direct service. So for example, I've used Santo Domingo here. We can see that 300,000 people in the last 12 months have searched for Barcelona, but there is no way to get there direct. This is extremely compelling for an airline. The airports that we work closely with and the airports that use this data use this as a foundation to build their business case in order to begin new routes like this based on true demand, based on where people want to go. What airports or some airports currently do is use booking data or flown data, and they'll build a business case with that as the foundation. Now, in our opinion, booking data is simply indicative of where people have gone based on what was available, right? Not where they actually want to go. Now, when things are good, all industries, ours is no exception, we can be a bit guilty of just always sort of doing what we've always done. And of course, when March 2020 hit, we all had to readapt. I don't need to tell you this, but of course, almost all of the world's aircraft were grounded for a period of time. And then when restrictions started to ease, of course, airlines couldn't just start their entire fleets overnight again. So they had to figure out, right, where is demand? Where are we going to start flying first? How on earth are we going to decide this? Okay, let's go to our booking data. Let's go to our flown data. Oh, wait, no one's booked anything. No one's flown anywhere. Where on earth are we going to start flying to? Nobody had an idea of where true demand was, except for, of course, Skyscanner. Because whilst nobody was booking anything and nobody was traveling, the sort of travelers that were imagining when borders opened again were still coming to us in the millions. They were still letting us know where the next destination would be when all of that ended, where they would go first. So we were able to share this with our partners and let them know exactly where people wanted to go. And some of them were destinations that were already in their networks. Some of them were completely new. The airports didn't care. The airlines didn't care. They just wanted their planes filled. I mentioned to you before that I'm a bit of a self-confessed aviation geek. I'm not quite at the level of standing at the side of runways taking photographs, although I have been known to. But it is honestly an absolute genuine pleasure for me to see data points like this being shared amongst our industry and actually making a real difference. There's countless new routes that have started as a result of this one data point, and that's just one of many that we share with the industry. And I really hope that I'll be able to see many more. And I'm sure I've already heard conversations from this conference alone that within Latin America specifically, there's already new routes as a result of meetings taking place here, which is amazing. So before I leave you and before we head off and enjoy some rum and Caribbean sunshine and whatever else we have in front of us, I'm going to share with you some data points that come out of what we call our Horizons report. I promise you, this will not be death by PowerPoint. There's not a ton of graphs and charts in here. This is a report that we share with the industry every 6 months or so. And it just gives our partners a bit of an insight into future travel trends and what to expect in the 6 months ahead. And because we are a global organization operating in over 50 markets, we really have a great top level view, which I'll share with you. And I've focused this specifically on the Americas. So first of all, a huge stat that's jumping out at us on the far right there is that Japan, the popularity of Japan searches is up 266%. Now, this isn't specifically just within the Americas, I must say. This is actually a global trend that we're seeing, but it stands out within the Americas. Now, it's either because the Japan Tourism Board have done a fantastic marketing campaign, or maybe because Japan was one of the last Asian markets to open properly. But it's great to see these numbers head in the right direction. The biggest trends coming out of the Americas region is that travelers are booking further in advance. This one is amazing to see. We've all been waiting on it. We see it as an indicator of health. People are trusting us again. Nobody's nervous that rules are going to change. They're thinking, right, I'm going to book a holiday. I'm going to book a trip and it's going to be far in advance. I want that cheap deal. I'm not worried about it being cancelled. We're seeing this across the domestic market. We saw that booking windows of 60 days or less fell dramatically and those of 90 days or more are increasing dramatically. It's the exact same pattern with short haul, a 20% decline on bookings within a travel within a week, and then a massive increase on those bookings 90 days or more. Again, for long haul, people really have a preference and confidence to book those bigger, more expensive trips more than 3 months in advance, which of course we haven't seen for the last couple of years. This is all really positive stuff. We're seeing it globally, but we're seeing it in particular in strong pockets of demand across the Americas. And if we give, if we're looking at a sort of top trending destinations from the region, Asia is taking dominance. I'm not entirely sure why. We're seeing it actually across EMEA as well, and actually within APAC itself. But we're wondering if it's to do with the fact that Asia was one of the last markets to open. Perhaps there's a hungrier appetite there. And I realize that, of course, this, I should say, is for the entire Americas region. So if there's anyone in the room or anyone listening that would like maybe a bit of a more specific focus on your market or your region, just let me know, because we're always more than happy to share those data points with you. And I guess that just leaves me to thank you for coming along this morning and listening to the Skyscanner story. I'd be more than happy to share that full report. I'm more than happy to have a chat with anyone afterwards about potential opportunities. And yeah, if anybody has any questions, then the floor is yours. So thank you.